Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, last week then we heard the culminating, the summing up, the bottom line command of Paul to the Philippian believers, and therefore the command of the Holy Spirit to us today as well. And that's this: rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in your Savior Jesus Christ. Do that when life is going well. Do that when life is even keel, going very steady. Do that also when life becomes very challenging. Now, hopefully in this past week, you've reflected on this very basic exhortation that comes our way. And perhaps as you reflected on this exhortation, you came to the conclusion, you know, this is quite the summons for me, for us to receive. This is quite an order for us to work with. You could even say there's really nothing harder for us to do than to do this. And that's true. It's true for at least two reasons. And the first reason is the world, the state of the world in which we live. There are so many realities in this life that do not prompt rejoicing, but instead evoke worry, ambivalence, sorrow, grief. Let's review some events of this past week, even let's say the election results. None of the minor parties were able to break in. There seems to be such a hold on power. Interest rate hikes happened this past week, and it came with the warning, this is not the end. There's rising costs. They're struggling, sometimes intensely, with cancer, with pancreatitis, a sick child, deep sense of loss, depression, anxiety. And going then also beyond ourselves, think of so many persecuted brothers and sisters in this world. Maybe you thought about Paul and Silas in prison, in the stocks in Philippi. Horrible. And yet amazingly, even Paul and Silas, they were still able to rejoice in the middle of the night, rejoice in the Lord. They heard that calling. How do you explain that they could do that? How could they do that? So that's one problem, is the world in which we live. Another one is ourselves. We tend not to think of this, but ourselves. That really is the biggest reason why it's so hard for us to rejoice. That's why we often forget about rejoicing. That's why, even when everything is going right for us in life, we still so often complain. We don't rejoice or find it hard. We find it hard, we find it not even natural to rejoice. It just doesn't come naturally. Even God's redeemed people, we experience that ourselves. You read that throughout Scripture. Even God's redeemed people, we quickly grumble, murmur, complain. You see, because of the fall into sin, we are now, in the words of our catechism, we are inclined by nature to hate God and the neighbor. And that means we are now inclined by nature to not rejoice in the Lord. We're inclined by nature to not rejoice in the Lord. That is now our default setting. A setting that we ourselves are unable to change, or even unable to want to change. But the gospel is this. our gracious, our compassionate God, He's not abandoned us. Though He would have been entirely justified to give up on us, to let us go, these ungrateful creatures, that's not who our God is. He just does not do that. Instead, He sent His one and only Son into this world to pay the penalty for our sin, our ungratefulness, our refusal to rejoice, to pay that penalty in our place. And He ensured that this gospel was proclaimed far and wide, even to us way out here. And His Holy Spirit, using the Word, He works divine healing right in our hearts, so that we do begin to reach out to Him again, so that gratefulness, it does start to take root and to blossom, and the response of gratefulness to His work does take shape. Think of what we witnessed just last week in the public profession of faith service. And as we witnessed that work of the Spirit, what did that prompt us to do altogether? It prompted us to rejoice in the Lord. And now think of what the Lord's Supper is all about. Our Savior, before leaving this world, commanded us to celebrate this particular sacrament until He comes. This sacrament is a sign. With the breaking of the bread and the pouring out of the wine, our Savior directs our attention to what happened on Golgotha, how His body was broken, how His blood was poured out as the ultimate sacrifice. And then within this sacrament, there is this exhortation. And it's this: eat, drink, each one of you. The point, yes, this sacrifice was made for you too, for the forgiveness also of your sins, to reconcile also you to holy God once again. Now let's be honest. Do our sinful natures, do they like to see, do they like to hear, do they like to ponder these matters? The answer is no. They much rather that we be not here, that we don't attend. Which also explains, by the way, why we can so easily catch ourselves latching on to any kind of reason to not attend. That's why. And even if we do attend, then our sinful natures, they don't just give up, but they continue to exert themselves. They do what they can to distract us. For example, so that we just kind of go through the motions while our minds are occupied with other matters. They do what they can to cause us to get hung up on incidental matters about the celebration. For example, the exact kind of bread used, or the exact kind of wine used, or exactly how it's distributed. They do what they can to cause us to get hung up on the celebration in and of itself, forgetting that the whole celebration indeed is a sign that points away from itself to the real thing. Think also of what our Lord's Supper form says in that phrase. Just before the celebration proper, we hear this exhortation: let us not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but let's lift up our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ, our advocate, is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. That's where our hearts should be. That's where our minds should be. Lift up your hearts on high. You see, that brings us right back to Philippians 3, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, the one who has conquered death, the one who has been victorious even over the grave, the one who today is on high, seated at the right hand of the Father. And hearing that and keeping that in mind, let me once again call you to think of what the Lord's Supper is all about. what you see in the celebration, what you hear in the ceremony. What you hear is this. The Holy Spirit is calling each of you very personally. In your different circumstances, He's calling you to behold your Savior. To behold your Savior. To behold what He did. Yes, for our sake, He humbled Himself even unto death. His body was broken. His blood was poured out. He humbled Himself even to death on the cross. He bore the full wrath of God in our place. And behold what happened thereafter. He arose from the dead as the great victor. He ascended into heaven. And He today sits at the right hand of the Father, sovereign. Sovereign over every provincial election, over every single world leader, over every development that takes place in our culture, over every conspiracy, over every disease, over every single aspect of your life. Good aspects, difficult aspects. And more than that, He has poured out His Spirit, today is Pentecost, in order to take up His abode within us, in order to equip us to serve in this world, in these circumstances, to serve for the advancement of His kingdom, in how we live, in how we speak, in how we react to things. And behold also what He's up to. Also up to from within us. He's up to expanding His saving kingdom. Again, think of what happened last week. He's up to also tackling that default setting within us. Changing us. Repairing us. So that more and more we glorify our God once again. So that more and more we rejoice in the Lord once again. And that we even lead all of creation in doing that. And behold, therefore, what's also coming. What's coming is a rejoicing that will have such depth, that is so deep, that is so heartfelt, and that is, believe it or not, completely natural. Before the fall already, Adam and Eve rejoiced with depth. But our joy will be even deeper yet. And that's because sin will be wiped away also from our vision. And we will then see, we will then know, not only how sin indeed has so deeply impacted us in ways that we today don't even see, but also how the mercy, the glorious mercy and love of our God is so deep. Even way deeper than the depths that we can thankfully plumb today. Sin will be wiped away. It will be swiped away. Also from our internal settings. And rejoicing in the Lord, that will again become our default setting. Indeed, it'll be a setting that can no longer even be tinkered with anymore. Never, beloved, let's join together in the celebration. Lift your hearts on high. Behold our Lord and rejoice in Him. Amen.